You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, hello there, February. Here we are already into the second week of the 2023 broadcasting calendar, continuing apace here on TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander, this February the 4th. And it's been a frigid and icy week here and across the country as well. We've been kind of iced in, so to speak. A lot of the activities and businesses and schools having been canceled. Of course, we homeschool, so our school's always in session. But pretty much all of the city was shut down for all intents. Even the fast food places were closed. How are people supposed to eat if you can't get fast food? Many people have a wife that
might try the old-fashioned way and cook at home.
I know a lot of people had to starve in Memphis this week with McDonald's closed, for God's sake. But anyway, it has been cold. It's a little bit warmer now. But anyway, welcome to the program. Got a lot to talk to you about. Another busy broadcast coming up. Mark Weber making his first appearance of the year. Also, a little later tonight, Patrick Martin, author of the book A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story. He's going to be back on to tease a new project, followed by another guest making his debut appearance on the program. He's the second such guest this year, Chris Cantwell on opening night back in January, and now Spencer Quinn, as we are mixing the old and the new. Well, they're not old. We're mixing the favorites with the new. Spencer Quinn, a novelist, going to be on to talk about his book, The No College Club, that was produced by the White People's Press. We'll talk more about that. It's going to be a great show all the way through. Hey, first, though, Keith, do you want to get into a little bit of fan mail? Just very, very quick, a little fan mail to kick off the show and let everybody ease into their seats?
Sure.
Well, let's get to it then. Here's one from a listener in Raleigh, North Carolina. Dear Mr. Edwards, please keep doing what you're doing. Supporting you is a pleasure. How about this one from Doug in Richmond, Virginia, the former capital of our nation? Dear James and Keith, great radio program. Keep it up. Please send me one copy of Racism Schmacism. You want the book, Doug. We can make that happen. And in fact, if you're tuned in live tonight, perhaps it has already reached you. I don't know. The mail probably slowed to a crawl this week with all of that ice. Up in Brick, New Jersey, listener writes to James and Keith, your sacrifice to the cause is admirable. And finally, I love this one. Listener in McSherrystown, Pennsylvania. Keith, when we started this thing, you ever thought you'd have a listener in McSherrystown?
I never knew there was such a place.
He writes, ahoy, James. Greetings from communist Pennsylvania. Y'all are doing great work. Wish you all the success and good things for many years to come. So I just like to just put my hand in the mailbag there, Richmond, Virginia, Raleigh, North Carolina, McSherrystown, Pennsylvania, and Brick, New Jersey, just right off the top of the heap here. So thank you all for tuning in tonight. And one more thing, Stan. Stan is the man in Idaho. Our listener, Stan Keith, longtime listener, friend of Bill Roland, he goes back so far. He sent me the brand new Van Morrison CD. Let me tell you something. We talked about Van Morrison last year. I mean, he's with it. He's not woke. He's based. We got to get Van Morrison on the show. We all love Brown Eyed Girl, of course, but his new stuff is really on point. And it just goes to show, I think, Keith, the shifting ground, not necessarily at our feet, but just underneath what we can feel. Things are moving. And we'll have some more evidence of that as this hour goes on. But take it from the top any way you want, Keith.
Well, the times are changing, as Bob Dylan said, and it's good to see that some of the people in the entertainment industry, which have been among the most woke, are actually coming over to our side.
I was just going to say a couple more things very quickly. They are coming to our side, but you still have at the head table, obviously, the enemy. Yeah, and this, we have talked, for a couple of years now about how much the Republican base is moving in our direction. Well, and we talked just a couple of weeks ago about how 61% of Republicans are against the Martin Luther King holiday. Yet still, there was a Republican National Committee put forth this nonsensical resolution last week. They felt compelled and obligated to. This is the Republican National Committee, who you think would be, I mean, if you didn't know much, you would think would be a serious governing body of one of the two ends of the duopoly. And they put forth this resolution condemning Kanye West and Nick Fuentes. I mean, how unserious is that? It reminds me of when the Southern Baptist Convention had to keep voting over and over and over. They violated their own rules and bylaws to keep voting after the delegates had voted, or what they call the messengers, had voted down this resolution to condemn the alt-right, which they didn't even know what it was. And they finally got it through, and you know how ridiculous. Well, the people at the Republican National Committee are still the older guard. The base is moving, but you still have the Mitch McConnells and the Kevin McCarthys and some of these people on the Republican National Committee, not all of them, but some, that still feel as though they have to virtue signal to their overlords in the left. And I think that's going to end. There was a poll, shock poll. It's always a shock poll with all capital letters, that only 53% of Americans believe that 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. Now, if there's one thing you're supposed to know in this country, if there's one thing that they've tried to teach you, it's about the trademarked 6 million. But only 53% say that they knew that or had heard that. Now, of course, there's an 11% that said they thought it was 600 million. So you got to kind of take that on the flip side. But yeah, I don't know, Keith. I just think this whole thing is just very tenuous, very tenuous. That there's still some people trying to maintain the old order, but those people are going to die out and retire, and then you've got this base that is not in line with them.
Well, you know, all this has to do, links in with Van Morrison. You know, the entertainment industry has always been dominated by Jewish interests. And it is now, you know, we may have the numbers, but they have the money. And as long as people want money and want to have successful careers and they equate being having a successful life with having a lot of money, they are going to go along with the Jewish way of seeing things, at least until it gets intolerable. And it may be coming to the point of becoming intolerable now. It's just, you know, I was just thinking about the civil rights movement and how in the beginning, at least people outside of the South said, well, you know, if we do away with segregation laws and things, you know, and disparate treatment between the people, maybe black people will become just like white people. Well, that verdict is in, and the verdict is they're not. In fact, if anything, the more you give them, the worse they get. And the same thing with the left generally. The left keeps pushing for more and more absurd changes in American life. People try to ignore it. They try to go about their business without doing this, but it's affecting more and more people. It's affecting who gets into college and what colleges they get into, and then that affects who, you know, it's everything is fine about, you know, having a homeschooling and whatnot, but you're not seeing those people getting into top colleges, and top colleges are still feeding our elite, and our elite have begun to be
well. That's
totally
actually
woke.
A topic we're going to be talking about with Spencer Quinn when we talk about the No College Club, his novel. We'll be right back. Keith and I are going to cover all the news that's fit to speak this hour.
Do you
so
know what
tuned.
Is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate
educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Welcome back, everybody. So yours truly, James Edwards and Keith Alexander, we're trying to blitz through this hour. Lots of stuff to cover. But I guess the big takeaway from the first segment was that the base continues to move. People continue to either be ignorant or completely disregard the catechisms of modern America, people like Van Morrison even moving in our direction to some extent. And I'm going to give you some more good news about that, just how far things have come the last few years as this hour continues. But we're going to do it as we continue to examine the situation in Memphis. Now, Keith, I didn't even want to cover this story a couple of weeks ago, although we covered it very, very well with Jim Lancia. Jim Lancia was just such a welcome addition to that commentary and analysis. Then you and I took an hour on it last week. So this is the third consecutive week we've talked about the situation in Memphis, obviously involving Tyree Nichols. And the reason I didn't want to cover it was because, I mean, it's tragic. I mean, a guy got beat to death. It's the big takeaway, though, was it looks like this is the kind of policing you could expect to find in Zaire or the Congo or someplace like that. But, of course, the media had their narrative, facts and figures and races be damned. And so it forced us to cover it because it became such a big national news story. Now, we'll take our time with this, maybe spend a couple of segments, and then in the last segment of this hour I got two or three things I want you to touch on very quickly with me. Our friend Brad Griffin over at Occidental Dissent has written an article, If They Were White. And we'll take this piece by piece and get to some pretty interesting things, I think. So first of all, Brad just mentions the obvious. Tyree Nichols in Memphis is the new George Floyd. Facts can never be allowed to get in the way of the anti-white narrative. Memphis has had a bunch of black leaders, city and county mayors, chief of police is a black woman, and the police officers that beat Tyree Nichols were all black. Now, we've covered this for 2 weeks. Here's what I think's interesting, Keith. Even National Review, this neocon flagship National Review, and the very weak and wimpish Rich Lowry, who is one of their biggest contributors, they are getting it right. That's how far gone the left and its narrative have gone, to where even the National Review can land on the right side of this. So even Rich Lowry, of all people, at the National Review of all publications, is pointing out how much it mattered that the Memphis cops who beat Tyree Nichols to death were black. And this is what Rich Lowry wrote, Keith. The race of the cops shouldn't make a difference. Unfortunately, though, the accident of the officer's race matters profoundly in terms of the narrative and the nation's reaction to the incident. If the cops were white, the cities around the country would have experienced serious violence and people would get hurt and perhaps killed. Major institutions around the country would find ways to signal their assent to the proposition that America is fundamentally racist. Efforts would get another boost in funding and mainstream appeal. The players in the NFL title games would insist on making some statements before playing on Sunday, and on and on and on. This is true, and we all know we got lucky. It doesn't even need to be said because we've already said it, but it's not just people like us now saying it, Keith. It's Conservative Incorporated, if you can believe it. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is interesting.
Well, Rich Lowry is still trying to live in the never-never land that we are colorblind and that should be colorblind. Well, it's impossible to be colorblind in today's world because color consciousness is forced upon us. What we saw in Memphis was, you know, obviously not anti-white. It was anti-black. Black people are more brutal than whites. Newsflash, okay? We knew this back in the days of segregation when blacks were complaining about being arrested by white police officers, and places like Memphis responded by hiring black patrolmen to police black precincts. Well, these black patrolmen were beating the stuffing out of their, you know, the people they arrested. But apparently back then it was more acceptable to blacks to have the stuffing beat out of them by black policemen than to merely be arrested by whites. Well, you know, what we're seeing is another example of that brutality. And, you know, we heard during the civil rights movement and then later in reporting about it, about how cruel and brutal and, you know, almost, you know, subhuman people like Bull Connor were. Well, I would ask you to compare the photo, the film of the Selma Bridge incident where, you know, John Lewis made his reputation that was supposedly so brutal. Compare that with the tape you saw of Tyree Nichols over the past week and the beating he got from these police officers. Basically, those black police officers make Bull Connor look like Mr. Rogers, okay, or Captain Kangaroo. I mean, there's nothing to compare with this. And, of course, we were told by the Jewish media back in the Civil Rights Movement about how brutal white Southerners were. Well, tell me, you know, now seen all these other things. They don't hold a candle to the brutality of
Keith,
you know, the black race generally, and policemen in particular.
If this was going to get national coverage, the only story here, I mean, yes, it seemed to be a murder. I mean, we'll let all the facts come out and we'll see what happens. But I mean, as I said, it certainly, the footage we've seen certainly doesn't make the cops look good, and so it looks that way. But the story here is diversity hiring, affirmative action hiring, the city of Memphis lowering its standards to where anybody with a pulse could get on because of their drive to have, as they called it, a police department that looks like the community, and we know what that's all about. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there that some of these cops were gang-affiliated. There's rumors that Tyree Nichols had been in a relationship with one of the police officer's former girlfriends. None of that's been substantiated. You hear a lot of stuff. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Lauren Witzke, our friend Lauren, is like, as you put it, Keith, the bulldog with the bloody bone. She has been basically beating down the doors of the Memphis Police Department and putting in requests for information. She just got reinstated on Twitter. So if you go to at Lauren Witzke DE, DE for Delaware, at Lauren Witzke DE, you can read a lot of the stuff that she's finding. She's talking to a lot of different people. A lot of smoke there, but again, that's all unsubstantiated stuff, at least for the moment. But I would like to have an investigation. But the real story isn't white racism, which is what the media is saying. The real story is ineptitude from the city of Memphis. And if anybody says white supremacy this, white supremacy that, don't even go straight on the offensive. The people with their mentality have made these places unlivable. They have made these places unlivable, and their policies led directly to the death of Tyree Nichols. And as Brad continues, if the races were reversed, the cops had been white, the journalist, quote-unquote, would have used the incident to incite race riots, not just in Memphis, but all over the country. They would have used it to push legislation through Congress. And the sole reason that Memphis was spared last week, other than some traffic felonies on the bridge, were because the cops were black. And that's why this whole thing is sort of petered out, as much as they have tried to continue to fan the flames, and it's still national. It is going to be news through the arraignment and the trials and all of that. But Rich Lowry goes on in this National Review article, Keith, just to show how far gone it all is. I mean, when you have cancer in your body and you do nothing, it continues to metastasize and grow until it kills you. And these liberals, the establishment has cancer of the brain, very malignant, very fast growing. They will be their own undoing. I think they are doing the work for us. Stuff like this being the result of white supremacy, as we covered. And Rich Lowry's talking about how in a new article in the Boston Globe, they described Ron DeSantis as a white supremacist and a white supremacist helicopter parent, meaning that's a reference, of course, to Augusto Pinochet and the so-called helicopter rides that he used to give. If Ron DeSantis is Augusto Pinochet and he's a white supremacist, people, it's going to kill them. It's not going to kill us. More and more people are waking up as a result of all of this nonsense in Memphis and in DeSantis's case and in all of it. It's a good thing for us.
Well, you know, we need to go on the offensive. This is, see, even the people on our side are trying to find some other way than to not say this, which is that blacks are more brutal than whites, period. As a group, they are. You know, you don't see, you know, the gang violence that you have in places like Memphis and other majority black cities is just appalling when you think about what actually happened. But see, we don't want to confront that. We want to say, well, there's a systemic problem with policing. No, there isn't. Policing is just fine. You know, the white guy they're trying to rope into the Tyree Nichols thing basically got out, tried to arrest the guy, started to run. He shot a taser at him and missed and was no longer involved in any of that. He didn't follow him after he started running. And the others did, and that's where the big beatdown took place. But see, they will not confront the reality. They're still trying to blame white people or something other than black people.
We'll be right back. Be right back, and Keith will tell us more about that reality right after this. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson. It's another day of crippling ice in the Mid-South. In East Memphis, Arkansas, correspondent Guy Venegas is barely able to stand up because of the sheet of ice on the ground.
Almost everyone I've spoken to today, yesterday, that said they went on the road at some point during the storm because they had to get to a place, say they saw a vehicle spin out of control or run into a patch of ice.
And airline passengers are again running into problems. FlightAware counts about 550 flights into or out of Dallas-Fort Worth International canceled or delayed. It's a different kind of cold facing Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. The Minnesota Democrats facing expulsion from the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
It's not a public policy debate. It's not about accountability. It's about political revenge.
The opinion of House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Speaker Kevin McCarthy says it's about anti-Semitic comments that Omar made about 4 years ago. President Biden's talking cooperation.
We can come together to do big things for the country. We can join hands and get things done.
At this morning's National Prayer Breakfast, Biden said if we try, we can find more things that unite us than divide us. Republican attorneys general in 20 states are warning the big drugstore chains CVS and Walgreens do not mail abortion pills to customers in their states. Both chains recently applied to the FDA to fill prescriptions for those pills in states where they're legal. Labor Department says new claims for unemployment insurance dropped last week, but the HR firm Challenger Gray and Christmas says job cuts last week hit the highest number in nearly 2.5 years. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft says he would love to sign Tom Brady to a one-day contract so he can retire as a Patriot, where he spent 20 years. Brady announced his retirement yesterday. This is USA News.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Nothing is every day.
With SkyRizzy, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
Welcome back. One more segment on this, and Keith and I are going to cover two or three things in the last segment of this hour. Before we get to another fantastic trio of guests led by program mainstay Mark Weber, and then in the third hour tonight, Patrick Martin, author of the book A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story. He's going to be teasing a brand new project that I can't wait to tell you about. And then Spencer Quinn, a novelist, columnist also at Countercurrents and elsewhere. He'll be on to talk about his novel, work of fiction, a fictitious novel, and there's a need for things like that in our movement. The No College Club. More information about that. Don't miss any minute tonight. But anyway, Keith, I mean, the only reason, in going back to Brad over at Occidental Descent has put together two or three pieces on this, and we've sort of made an amalgamation of them for our coverage tonight, but Brad puts this in here, and it's a good point. The only reason we're talking about it, though, is again, is it shows that even Rich Lowry and the dullest, most earnest types in the conservative establishment now have to take stock of the strength and the depth of anti-whiteism in this country. And you can look at it as a barometer of how the right thinks about race. If now this is the key, I think. If Rich Lowry and National Review are thinking like this, then everyone else must be significantly more radicalized. And they are. Even if they haven't sacked full control of the Republican National Committee yet, they are, believe me. And it's only going to continue. And it's continuing because the enemy continues to overplay its hand, saying that five black cops who were hired because of low to no standards by the city of Memphis to be police officers killing a black man is white supremacy. They are doing more. The enemy is doing more to radicalize whites than we ever could, even if we wanted to, Keith.
Well, what's happened is that people are coming to the realization that it's the blacks stupid, okay? They are the problem. Rather than whites being the problem, blacks themselves are the problem. They are responsible for more black deaths than the Ku Klux Klan ever was. Every year, you know, black on black crime is the majority of the crime in America, and they're only 13% of the population. People need to wake up to this. They need to stop listening to these false narratives by clowns like Al Sharpton and others. You know, they're still trying to live back in the 50s and 60s. And back then, even then, you know, Bull Connors looked like Mr. Rogers compared to, you know, a typical, a black occurrence that happens, I'm sure, weekly in America of black policemen roughing up suspects.
This is something that has been brought up. The very same week of the Tyre Nichols incident, there was an incident where a group of white police officers killed a white man who they believed was holding his wife hostage. It turned out to be a big mistake, but he's dead just the same. And they unloaded into this guy, killed him in front of his wife who was screaming. And again, I think the situation here could just be poor police standards, poor training. You know, a lot of these police departments are being trained using the Israeli model, which over there with the Palestinians is shoot first, ask questions later. But the very same week, you had another death involving a group of white police officers shooting an unarmed white man. How many people heard about it? Not any. And Ann Coulter has written a very good article about this in her most recent column. I found it over at VDare, but I'm sure you can find it in other places as well. And in it, she writes, instead of unveiling more George Floyd murals, how about some refresher courses on the talk? All of these black luminaries would be alive today if they'd done one simple thing, obey the police. It's not that hard. And then she goes on to talk about how this so-called disproportionate amount of police on black violence is not backed up by any statistics or data? When you
well, the reason you have more police on black violence is that more black people commit crimes and more black people resist arrest.
Well, you certainly have them being arrested at a disproportionate amount because, again, of their propensity to commit crime. But in terms of these instances like they're talking about, it doesn't happen statistically more than white beatings and deaths at the hands of police officers. Now, certainly they get arrested more, and for good reason. But in terms of what we're talking about here, statistically, there is no deviation.
Well, that's because white people are 57% of the population. Blacks are only 13. They are... If you have equal numbers between the group that is 57% of the population with the group that has 13%, that tells you the 13% are really doing yeoman service. They're doing a lot more than their share of the policing problems, okay? And that's, you know, people need to understand finally that despite all of the excuses, all of the accusations, all of the outrage, mock or otherwise, that we are confronted with, the crime problem in America is basically a black problem. You know, when black people learn to behave like white people, if they ever do, that will solve the problem. Right now, they're encouraged not to behave. They are told that trying to be like white people is selling out your own race. And that's what they do. And, you know, that's why nothing has gotten better since the Civil Rights Movement. You would think with all these special rights, affirmative action, promotions, and, you know, getting into jobs that they don't qualify for, that they would things would be better off.
Well,
they're worse off. They're much worse off now than they were back in the 50s and 60s.
They're worse off on so many levels, too. I mean, as a direct result, not as an indirect or an abstract result, but as a direct result of the so-called civil rights movement, entire American cities are either unlivable, like Selma. You can't live in Selma. You have wide swaths of places like Memphis and Atlanta and Baltimore and elsewhere, you can't live because of the violence in these communities. And then places like Jackson, Mississippi, they're going to have... water, they can't, for the next decade, there's going to be intermittent intervals where the city of Jackson, Mississippi can't even pump water because of the mismanagement and the ineptitude. All a direct result of the, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population, et cetera, et cetera. It's all a result of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, we said that early on, and it is as true now as it was when it was first said.
We're proving more right every day. I want to work this in real quick before the end of the this segment. The Washington Post, though, we're talking about Van Morrison, even Rich Lowry, a lot of people in the base beginning to see things a little more clearly on some issues. The Washington Post, though, this week still trying to pin the death of Tyree Nichols on systematic racism. And they interviewed a former head of the NAACP in Minneapolis about his thoughts on the death of Tyree Nichols. And he says, well, it makes it even harder to swallow because they're black and they know what we have to go through. What have you had to go through? His name is Jason Soule. What have you had to go through, Jason? If you were Tyree Nichols' age, you've been born in the last 30 years, you've had to go through complete preferential treatment in hiring, in scholarships, in welfare benefits and set aside
admissions to colleges
all of it. I mean, what have you had to go through? You've had a complete leg up. You have been treated disproportionately fair. But anyway, you can't fax in the narrative, you know.
Yeah,
never.
He said this.
Just quick. He said that you know how sad he was that blacks were involved, but not all your skin folk ain't your kinfolk. And again, Keith, that's civil rights 101. That's you got to make it rhyme.
Our situation is even more so. You know, we can say that too about all your skin folk ain't your kinfolk. Think of all these white elites that are basically in the amen corner with the Jewish population regarding their anti-white agenda. See, that's I agree with that. All your skin folk ain't your kinfolk, and that applies for white people in particular.
Well, you know, they keep saying that these black police officers were infected with white supremacy. If these were black white supremacists, they're going to catch hate crime charges like everybody else? I don't think so. I haven't seen that yet.
See, See, we've got to wake up to the fact that we have a Jewish-run foreign policy and domestic policy, and that there are a substantial number of white elites that have decided to be turncoats. And that's where the big problem is. You know, without that type of crucial moneyed support, none of this, you know, woke agenda would have gone anywhere. That's where the problem is, and all of our skin folk ain't kinfolk, okay? That's our problem. You know, people with white skins are the crucial factor that allows this nonsense to go on. And we see it, you know, that they can excuse anything by black people. Black people have no agency. They're not responsible for anything they do, apparently. And if you try to say that they are, that shows that you are evil. Crazy.
Yep. Hey, we're going to shift gears, but a little bit more good news in the final segment of this hour, which is already going by far too quickly. Stay tuned. James and Keith coming right back at you.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
All right, just how far along is the undercurrent in this country coming? Before Donald Trump began his first campaign talking about the forgotten men of America, there was a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist by the name of Charlie LaDuff who was profiling the people who felt left behind by the government very often. He was a Fox News Detroit reporter. But unlike most reporters you see on TV who are basically just reading the news, he went out and did these almost performative-like pieces where he would find interesting stories to tell. I mean, it was really good. And it's hard to even pinpoint his political ideology.
He was on our show?
That's well, I was about to get to that. So that was about 10 years ago, okay? He did come on the show one time. And his political ideology is almost at once a mix of conservative in the traditional sense, liberal and libertarian. But he is honest. He is an honest journalist, which is almost unfathomable. Well, anyway, he wrote a new book not too long ago entitled The Country's Collapsing and the Ratings Are Great. Now, our friend Scoop sent us the scoop on this, as it were. And a quick 2-minute clip here. A Pulitzer Prize-winning network journalist, and this is how he's talking about the issues of the day. We'll let Keith respond.
It's red and blue. Alain Quijano spoke with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Charlie LaDuff. GQ named him Madman of the Year in 2013, calling him a, quote, nightly news performance artist. And well before President Trump launched his anti-establishment candidacy, LaDuff was traveling the country reporting the stories of Americans who felt abandoned by their government. LaDuff's new book is titled S Show, The Country's Collapsing, and the ratings are great. Here's a preview of that conversation.
You draw this parallel between that kind of rage in places like Ferguson, but also in places like upstate New York, where the population is very different.
Well, again, there's not some great white menace out there, okay? There's white people struggling like black people. And so the liberal media, mostly white, mostly liberal, right, doesn't like these people, doesn't know these people, never did, didn't grow up with them.
Working-class white people,
yeah,
you're talking about.
And then the right-wing media starts attacking them because they won't behave, right? This is, in upstate New York, conservative writers are saying, die, die. Like, you're high on OxyContin, you're not taking care of your kids, you're getting a fake check from the government, you're not morally or economically defensible anymore. This is what you say. You would never say that about black people or brown people or red people or yellow. It's not PC. How is it you can do this? Do you understand how people just feel they are left behind? That's really hard to ask a living thing to do. Be left behind.
That's pretty powerful stuff from a guy who's won a Pulitzer. Now, you can take your Pulitzer for most people who gets them, and it ain't worth anything. But it just goes to show there's National Review, there's Van Morrison, there's this guy, Charlie LaDuff. And what he's saying is the truth. And if they're getting it, how do you think the people on the streets are getting it? That's the thing. And that was a fantastic clip. I want to thank Scoop again for sending that our way.
Well, it gets down to what we were saying in the last segment, all our skin folk and kin folk, okay? Our problem is that we don't have enough important people that have access to the media, to the microphones, to the publishing houses and whatnot, that will take a pro-white stance. Even so-called, you know, mainstream conservatives basically like to prove their bona fides by showing how anti-white they are at times. And this is really a shame. You know, we have got to stop buying into this idea that the golden road to wealth and fortune and acclaim is to be anti-white. That's what the neocons are. They're anti-white. So many of them. The reason Rich Lowry was such a surprise to you by coming out with something that was even, it wasn't pro-white, it was colorblind. But even having them do that without finding some way to malign white working class or lower middle class people is a surprise nowadays. And, that's the problem. And there are problems that, see, white people are the historic base of this nation. We are what people thought of as Americans. And they created a wonderful garden spot out of a wilderness. And then they started letting other people in after the Jews got in and decided that they didn't like the ruling regime of white Gentiles and that they were going to bring in new groups to basically water down the influence of white Gentiles. And white Gentiles were bamboozled into it with all the high-blown rhetoric of the civil rights movement, for example. Nobody wanted to be a hater. And, you know, I've looked at some of these old shows by Mike Wallace, who, you know, pretends to be Scottish. His actual name is Myron Wolick. He's Jewish as, you can be. But those were the people that were basically putting down white Gentile society during the Civil Rights Movement. People in the South knew that this was not going to work. It was a recipe for disaster. Now people like John Derbyshire at VDare, in his most recent article about the Tyree Nichols thing and whatnot. He was talking about how there was so much hope in people like him that if you did away with segregation laws and with mean-spirited segregation, that was that black people were going to rise up and be just like anyone else, like other white people. And of course, the opposite has happened. The more you stir it, the more it stinks. You know, the black population is much less socially responsible, much less productive. That basically race is a drag on the American economy. You're putting people into positions of authority and power that are unqualified. You're denying promotions to white people in the working class and lower middle class. And, you know, it's just a recipe for disaster. You know, somebody said if something can't go on forever, it won't. Well, this can't go on forever. We're seeing America's prestige overseas going to the toilet, okay? We're involved. How many disastrous foreign wars have we fought? You know, like Afghanistan, where we go out with the tail, our tail tucked between our legs in a war that we should never have gotten involved in, that the founding fathers of America would never have allowed the government to get involved in. That's because we don't have people like the founding fathers running our government anymore. You know, it's Jewish power and influence, unfortunately, pure and simple, in charge. And, you know, the neocons, which is, that's a Jewish movement, you know, people like Victoria Nuland, her husband, Robert Kagan, all of these people, they are, you know, they are wild-eyed war hawks. They don't care that they may be leading us into a nuclear war. And, you know, it's just the rest of America just sits there with its jaw gaping saying, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we spending $100 billion to beef up the border of Ukraine when we can't spend $5 billion to build a wall between the United States and Mexico? It's crazy. And, you know, I don't know how people without power can get power in America as long as people that would be leaders are willing to take money, you know, and sell themselves out. That's exactly what's been happening in America, and it's crazy. And you know, it's like the decline and fall of the Roman Empire.
Well, it is, and but the good news is, cliche as it may sound, and I've said this before, history hasn't been written yet, and we can all have a collective voice in the decision-making process going forward, although we will need that leader, that man, to step into the moment and harness this energy.
Well, Duff is right. We have a lot of people, but not leaders. And unfortunately, to be a leader, you have to be one of the anointed. The people that are enemies of the white people are the ones in charge of the media. And,
well, I think
Marshall
it's why
McClellan said the medium is a message.
People got excited about the potential of Donald Trump, at least during the first run against Hillary Clinton, because he had a lot of the status and the prestige, and he was a media magnate, and obviously, you know, very
well.
He
had the outlook of a conservative boomer back in the 50s and 60s. That's when he grew up. He had that outlook, but unfortunately, there was no real depth to the man, and he did not know how the government works, and they basically played him like a tool.
Real quick, we know now that it's February. I guess that's supposed to be Black History Month. I see on Twitter earlier this week, White History Month was trending, just from people just fed up with the double standard, and that is trending on Twitter, or that it was trending a couple of days ago. You know, pretty interesting. And speaking of Donald Trump, I guess real quick, Keith, because I know you're only with us for the first hour tonight, but he has his first officially named and officially announced challenger. And I don't even know what her real name is. I think it's like Nimrata.
Nimrata or something, yeah.
Whatever.
Well, you know how I think about
you know her as
Haley.
Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is running against Trump. I guess he's
Nikki Hokey, as P.J. Proby said in his 1960s of kind of Cajun rock song. Nikki Haley is the one responsible for taking the Confederate emblem off of the state flag of South Carolina, and she was totally anti-Confederate, a pox on her and anybody that would support her. I mean, she is the worst possible candidate. If she is the candidate for the Republican Party,
well,
I will not vote Republican. I guarantee you, I will not.
You wasted about 5 seconds of airtime even saying that. You and I have a better chance of winning the nomination than her. 0% chance she goes anywhere with the Republican base being where it is now.
I hope she learns just how hated she is by the people of America.
I do too. All right, Keith Alexander, we will talk to you again soon. Keith just pulling an hour shift tonight. Mark Weber will be up next. Stay tuned, everybody. Thank you, Keith.
You're welcome. Have a good one.